And Bobby and Sue are going to bring our readings to us.
We're reading from Genesis chapter 37. The first part is 37 verses 1 to 11. Joseph and his brothers. Jacob continued to live in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. And this is the story of Jacob's family. Joseph, a young man of 17, took care of the sheep and goats with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's concubines. He brought bad reports to his father about what his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he had been born to him when he was old. He made a long robe with full sleeves for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than he loved them, they hated their brother so much that they would not speak to him in a friendly manner. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to the dream I had. We were all in the field tying up sheaves of wheat, when my sheaf got up and stood up straight. Yours formed a circle around mine and bowed down to it. Do you think you are going to be king and rule over us?" his brothers asked. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of what he said about them. Then Joseph had another dream and said to his brothers, "I had another dream in which I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." He also told the dream to his father, and his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that? Do you think that your mother, your brothers, and I are going to come and bow down to you?" Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept thinking about the whole matter.
The second reading is taken from Genesis chapter 42, verses 1 to 6, and Joseph's brothers go to Egypt to buy corn. When Jacob learnt that there was corn in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why don't you do something? I hear that there is corn in Egypt. Go there and buy some to stop us from starving to death." So Joseph's 10 half-brothers went to buy corn in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's full brother Benjamin with them, because he was afraid that something might happen to him. The sons of Jacob came with others to buy corn, because there was famine in the land of Canaan. Joseph, as governor of the land of Egypt, was sending corn to people from all over the world. So Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. And the third reading is taken from Genesis chapter 47, verses 7 to 12. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and presented him to the king. Jacob gave the king his blessing, and the king asked, "How old are you?" Jacob answered, "My life of wandering has lasted 130 years. Those years have been few and difficult, unlike the long years of my ancestors in their wanderings." Jacob gave the king a farewell blessing and left. Then Joseph settled his father and brothers in Egypt, giving them property in the best of the land near the city of Ramesses, as the king had commanded. Joseph provided food for his father, his brothers, and all the rest of his father's family, including the very youngest. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for your word and for all that we've heard of it today. And we pray you would open up our hearts and our minds as we hear the message that you have for each one of us this morning. May we be open and responsive to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're bringing a series on the character of God to a close. And we've deliberately saved this story until last, as it kind of feels appropriate to reflect on at a service of dedication of two children. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Bible story of Joseph. I'd guess most of us here would be familiar with the West End version of Joseph and his amazing technicoloured dream coat as told by Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. But that version is a rather more light-hearted look at the events of Genesis. So we're going to spend some time trying to understand what the story is all about this morning. The story essentially is about a dysfunctional family and all the fallout that went along with it. The main character, Joseph, is a teenager. He's one of 12 boys, which is bad enough in its own way, I think. And importantly, and perhaps problematically, he is the eldest son of Jacob's favourite but deceased wife, Rachel. All the other brothers, except the very youngest Benjamin, are sons of Jacob's concubines or of his lesser wives. So just from this little introduction, you can see the tension that is brewing in this story. But there's worse to come. Joseph has a reputation for being arrogant and of being lazy in his brother's eyes. And they didn't like him for it. And then there was the coat that his dad gave to him. And I don't want to upset anybody, but the coat may not have been the same as the one worn by Jason Donovan, brightly coloured. It may well just have been a simple, long-sleeved coat. And it's the symbolism of being a long-sleeved coat that's important. It's simply that long sleeves got in the way of manual labour. Joseph was not into manual labour, although he did go and help his brothers. And Jacob, his father, didn't really expect him to be. The coat symbolised, without words, that he did not have to work with the sheep in the same way that his brothers did. In fact, as we read in the first of our readings, Joseph kind of went with his brothers to the fields, but his main reason for going there seemed to be to spy on them and to report back to Dad. We see too that Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph had a series of dreams. And whenever we read about dreams in the Old Testament, we see that there's a divine quality about them. In other words, dreams are from God. And he is communicating a message through them. The message is normally of high importance. And it's a message of what may or will come to pass. Joseph is perhaps either very arrogant and self-assured, or he is so naive as to not to realise what he's doing when he talks about his dreams. He shares the dreams and basically he tells his brothers and his dad that he's better than them, that he is destined for great things, and that all of them will bow down to him. Now, I've got two older brothers and a sister. And I know full well what their response would have been if I'd told them that I was destined for greatness and that one day they would bow before me. I don't think they would have thrown me in a well, but I'm certain they wouldn't have taken the news too well. In his brother's eyes, Joseph is just a slacker and a dreamer and a snitch, and they plan to get rid of him. There are a series of events that follow for Joseph, where God blesses him and protects him, and he goes into the service of a guy called Potiphar. He rises to house manager, but then he is falsely accused and winds up in a prison cell. God blesses him in the cell, and he becomes a prisoner of importance and worth and status, if that's possible. He interprets dreams, and eventually he gets to stand in front of Pharaoh. God blesses him again, and he rises through the ranks of Pharaoh's court until he is the second most powerful man in the whole of Egypt. Our second reading picks up the story and shows how Joseph's first dream is fulfilled. The brothers arrive and bow down before him in their search for food. And then Joseph challenges his brothers. He's testing them to see if they've learnt from their past mistakes. And after some time, they return again, this time with their youngest brother, Joseph's full brother, Benjamin. And he tricks them to see how they're going to respond. He reveals his true identity to them. And then he asks to see his dad, Jacob. And in our final reading, we see that Jacob meets Joseph and goes before Pharaoh to be given land to live in. And although Jacob and his family do not bow before Joseph, or we don't read of it, it is clear that Jacob and his people are in debt to Joseph and are under his authority. Joseph's dreams have come true. In total, it took 22 years for those dreams to be fulfilled. 22 years where God has shown his faithfulness, his love, and the fact that he is ever present. So what does this show us about the character of God? Well, I want to suggest that we can see three aspects of God's character through the story of Joseph this morning. The first aspect that we see displayed is the fact that God is omnipresent. Or perhaps a better way of phrasing it would be that God is always there. From the moment that God begins to work in Joseph's life, from the very first dream, God is present in his life. God is there for the whole of Joseph's life, all 110 years of it. And we see his presence clearly over those 22 years that our story takes place. God is always there. God is present when Joseph is in the pit. He is protecting him and does not let the brothers harm him. Instead, he gives the brothers another option, and they choose to sell Joseph into slavery. And they watch him head off into Egypt, tied to the back of a camel. Or at least that's my image of it, not the Bible's. God is with Joseph. He's with Joseph when he enters the household of Potiphar. It says clearly in verse 2 of chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph and made him successful. He rose through the ranks and became head of the household until he ends up in prison just because he's moral and respectable and won't be corrupted by Potiphar's wife. But God is with him still and doesn't abandon him even in prison. Again, he gains the respect of those around him. He becomes useful. We read in verses 21 and 23 of the same chapter that the Lord was with him and blessed him, or that he made him successful in everything he did. And then we read that God is with Joseph in the palace. The king has two dreams, and no one except Joseph, with God's help, is able to interpret them and understand them. And the king recognizes that God's spirit is in him, chapter 41, verse 38. And Joseph goes on to achieve great things, and eventually his family is brought together again, because God is always there. And I think that we can draw comfort from this fact, because the same God that was there for Joseph is there for us too. We may not have dreams and visions. We may not have to deal with stroppy brothers or even face death or imprisonment. But through all the ups and downs of our lives, we can find comfort that God will be there for us if we want him to be. The second aspect of God's character that comes through from this passage is that of faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is different to omnipresent, where omnipresent is about always being there in every situation. Faithfulness is about making good on a promise or staying the course no matter what. And God certainly does that for Joseph in this story, but also on a larger scale for the people of Israel. When God gives Joseph those dreams, he is giving him a glimpse of what is to come. This is not fortune telling. This is God saying to Joseph and to those around him that this is his plan. His will for Joseph to be in this position of power. God is faithful to his promise. And over the next 22 years, he brings the dreams of Joseph into reality. It's interesting that God gives Joseph two dreams, both of which are saying similar things. And if you read the whole story, then you see that when Joseph interprets the king's dreams, he says in chapter 41, "The repetition of your dream means that the matter is fixed by God and that he will make it happen in the near future." These kind of dreams had meaning, as I've said already. When we read about dreams in the Bible, there are usually those times when God is speaking clearly about what is going to happen. These dreams always come true. They may take time, 22 years in this case, but they come true because God is faithful. But these dreams are more than the story of Joseph. And in fact, they are part of a much bigger plan that God is working out. It is a plan that started hundreds of years before with Abraham, when God promises that he will be the father of a great nation. It is a promise that is continued through his son Isaac, and then through his son Jacob. And finally, we see the beginnings of a great nation coming together as they settle in the land of Egypt, because of God's faithfulness to his promise and in his faithfulness to his son, Joseph. God stays the course. God is faithful. We should be able to find comfort from this knowledge in our own lives. The God who made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is the same God who makes a promise to be a part of our lives, if we'll let him. God has great plans for each one of us. And I dare to believe that God has great plans for Nathaniel and for Boaz too, if they will allow him to show them. I think that that is exciting and reassuring to know. God is always there for us, watching out for us. And God is faithful to us. He waits patiently to work in our lives, to bring his plans for us into being. There's one more characteristic that we see in this passage, and that is that God is loving. It doesn't say in the text that God loves Joseph or his brothers, and so you may be wondering where I get that from. But it comes from the pattern of behavior that God displays towards Joseph and towards his brothers. And the way that God behaves towards them is not the behavior of an angry, nasty, or vengeful God. It is the actions of a loving God who protects and cares for his people. This doesn't mean that rubbish stuff doesn't happen along the way, and that the brothers and Joseph don't mess things up and behave badly. We all know that in life, all kinds of rubbish comes our ways. Things happen, situations happen that we are not in control of, and we struggle or we suffer. But when bad things happen in our lives, it doesn't mean that the people around us don't love us. It isn't always their fault that these things happen. Sometimes bad things just happen, and despite it all, we know that they love us. It's the same with God. He loves us and cares for us. But sometimes bad things happen to us. Sometimes because of the things we say and do. and sometimes because of the actions of others. And it can be too easy to blame God and say, why did you allow this to happen? If you really loved me, you wouldn't have allowed it. But it's not about God allowing these things to happen. It's about the fact that God loves us through it all and shows his love by standing beside us, by protecting us from the worst, as he did for Joseph, protecting from the worst that the world can throw at us. This story and God's actions speak of the deep love that God has for his creation, the deep love that God has for his people, the people that he has created to express his love towards. God will go out of his way to love his people. We know that today because he showed how much he loves us by sending his son Jesus into the world. We heard in our earlier readings from Romans that God has shown his love for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus brings us an opportunity to be friends with God again. God is always present. God is faithful. And God is loving. As I close this morning, I want to suggest that there is a model of parenthood that we can all take from this passage. It is the commitment to be always there, the commitment to be faithful, and the commitment to be loving. And we can all follow God's example in these things. But this is not just a challenge to parents. This is a challenge for all of us in the church. We've all made promises today, this morning, to say that we will love and care for these families, that we will support them and be there for the boys as they grow up. We've promised to love them, to be there for them, and we are called by God to make good on those promises that we've made. We all have a role to play to help and support each other in the church, which is what being part of God's family is all about. From the youngest to the oldest, we all have a role to play in supporting and caring for each other. So as you leave this morning, remember the story of Joseph. Dig out the DVD or CD. I know there are people here that can sing along to all the songs. I've heard them recently. Remind yourself of the story of Joseph. And remember that God is always there. He is faithful. And that he loves you. Use God's example to guide your life. Determine to live in a way that cares for, supports, and loves one another. Live up to the promises that we've made together this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this story of Joseph and for all that we can learn of your character through it. We thank you that you are always present in our lives, watching over us, protecting us, guiding us, looking out for us, and wanting the best for us. We thank you for your faithfulness, that we can believe in you and trust in your promises, knowing that you will stay the course. And we thank you for your amazing love that knows no limits. Thank you that you love each one of us, even though at times we don't deserve your love, and even at times we turn away from your love. Father, thank you for your example. Help us to live in that way, offering love and faithfulness and support to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.